The apostles were those that our Lord used to accomplish this in this early time. As my pastor liked to call them, and I think it's good, it helps us to understand the work of the apostles, they're the transition team. The keys of the kingdom have been taken from Israel, the nation, the one that held the oracle of God, the word of God, and now has been given to his New Testament church. And that's where you can go find out about the Lord. That's where you can go find out about the salvation of the soul. That's where you can go and find out about the prophecy of things to come. His church holds those things, and she is here alive and well even today. And we praise the Lord's name for that. Here, Brother Luke, he's written a gospel, and he undertakes here to make these things very clear and very plain. A history of the Lord's church in these first days, in these early days. Understand that Pentecost is coming, the day of Pentecost, where the Lord is going to reveal his church into the world and make it very plain to Judaism and to the Gentiles that his church is where he is and where his work is being fulfilled and carried out in. That's his design. That's his plan, just like he's always had a plan. And over the course of the centuries and millennia, he will reveal that his church is what he is going to use to tell his word to the lost and dying world, and where he will be glorified indeed. Understand, the church is in existence even before Pentecost has come. That's that revealing and that sanction to the world, I believe, of the Lord's church. But she's there. She's alive. And we read this here as Brother Luke, our Lord, impresses upon him to write these things about the working of the church. And we come in it at a time right here at the end before the Lord Jesus ascends to heaven. Let's read. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Okay? And so he's told about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the day of his ministry and maybe what Luke saw or certainly what Luke found out from the brethren. He undertook to write that, and he's writing to Theophilus about these things. And so he is told about all that Jesus began both to do and teach and how that's going to be continued on. He taught these things, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. First, we want to see that there's commandments to the Lord's church. It's just not an apostolic thing where he gave those commandments to his apostles, but the commands that he gave for the apostles to receive was that which they taught unto the church and that which the church is to continue on. It tells us in Ephesians that the church of the Lord is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the word of God, the leadership of these men, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It's all about Jesus, and it's all for Jesus, and he uses human instrumentality to carry out his purpose and his plan. His purpose and his plan is with men and unto men, isn't it? Unto men and through and by with men. He uses us. It's his working in us. And so we see here he's given commandments unto us. Yeah, there are commandments unto us. One of those commandments, a basic commandment for the Lord and his church, is to meet together on the day that the Lord appeared unto his first church. His resurrection and his appearing unto them, his instruction to them there initially after he had risen from the dead. And there are other things that he's given us to obey and to follow him in. Are those commandments bad for us? No, they're not. They're good for us, aren't they? Understand, God Almighty, Jehovah God, so cares about men and mankind that he instructs us how to worship him, how to serve him. Every other God there is, and we think of pagan gods that we've heard about, they're always wanting you, and we say that, you know, I'm saying that in quotations. I'm saying that tongue in cheek. But man-made gods always have you guessing about how to serve them. Okay? It says in that Allah is that way. Allah, he's tricky. He might look to fool you. He might lead you down a road that's not so and just have a big laugh and a big joke. Not God Almighty. And of course, Allah is not even a real God. He is not a God. He's a figment of man's imagination. There are commandments given by our Lord and to the church. We need to know what those are. Each of us individually as members fitly joined together into Olmsted Baptist Church, we need to know what those commands are. We need to hold to those commands. We need to modify our life by those commands. We need to be following our Lord. He gave them and to the apostles to that first church, and he expects us and intends for us to follow them. They are the way of blessing. Know the word of the Lord. It goes on to say here, and to the day he was taken up after through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. He rose from the dead, did he not? He is alive. And alive forevermore. He was dedicated, the passion of the Lord dedicated to the fulfilling of the gospel for our sakes. He did that, and he did that fully and completely. It was proven that he was alive. There were witnesses beyond number that our Lord was alive. And then he was with them 40 days to instruct them. Remember how our brother read this morning. The Lord told the disciples, he told the apostles what was going to happen, how it was prophesied, how it was written that these things would be. And John writes, or Luke writes, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. So look at the care of the Lord. He took another 40 days to teach them. To make it plain, you think the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to Old Testament scriptures after he rose from the dead and met with his disciples? He sure was. Remember, at that time, there was no New Testament. What a blessing you and I have that we have the New Testament today. Being seen of them 40 days, and what's it say? And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He says, children, sons and daughters, children that I've saved and here in my church, here's how it fits together. Here's how it goes together. And yes, I am alive. Yes, I've paid the atonement. I've paid the redemption and provided the atonement for your sins. I've risen. I've, as it says in Ephesians, our Lord gave himself for his church. He shed his blood for her, and he's there with her. And he says, this is how it fits together. This is how it's accomplished. And this is how it is to be. Look here, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. There's something that I'm going to do next. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. I've told you about this. For John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized or immersed with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Wait. They received a particular command for them right then, didn't they? You know, we're not in Jerusalem, are we? You know what? And we're here at Olmsted, Kentucky. And in this region where we live, you know, this is where the Lord's appointed us to be. This is where we worship our Lord. We've got a meeting house. We've got a church house. And we come together to worship our Lord. Sometimes we have cottage prayer meetings and we meet to worship our Lord at your house. When you host a cottage prayer meeting, we meet together to worship our Lord. In this region and community, we serve our Lord. All right, and we're going to see more about that, how we do so. We serve our Lord. We serve our Lord in our homes. We serve our Lord in our lives. We serve our Lord as in our families. We serve our Lord in the church. This is where the Lord's told us to serve him, to worship him, and sometimes wait on him. Amen? Sometimes we have to wait. But then we've been given other things to go. And so, we'll see about that more. But this church, the first church, the Lord said, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that you'll be baptized with in a few days. Wait. And when they therefore, verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, you know what? They kept on coming together, didn't they? They kept on coming together. You know, I'm glad that you're here this morning. I praise the Lord that there's conviction by the Lord that you need to be here in the services. I pray that for all the members of the church. You know what? There's nothing more important than being here in the services. Now, a few Sundays from now, I'm going to be laid up in the hospital. I won't be able to be here. It's more important to be in services, but I'm just not going to be able to come, okay? And those things happen. The thing is do you and I, do we have times that we push the ox in the ditch or push the kidney into surgery? No, we can't do that, can we? But do we do things that hinder us? Do we willfully go and find other things to do or make situations? Sometimes things happen, you just can't be here. But you know what? The pattern of the people that love the Lord, been called by Him, saved by Him, and put into His church, being in service is going to be a priority. It's going to be a priority, not a second thought, not an afterthought, but it's going to be a priority. It was here. When they were therefore were come together, okay, they're there together. They ask Him saying, and they're talking with the Lord Jesus in that 40 days, He's risen from the dead. They said, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So see, that was still on their minds about the Lord whipping up on the Romans and kicking them out of town and kicking them out of Judea and Samaria Galilee and otherwise. They thought that before the Lord Jesus went to the cross. And now with this great exhibition of power, the Lord taking His life back after He's dead. Is it now, Lord? Is it now that you're going to be taking back the kingdom? Will you restore the kingdom? And Lord, will at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, there's another thing that you need to be concerned about and you need to be pursuing. Okay, that's what He's saying here. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. He's told them before, right? He's told them the same thing before. They ask Him, the Lord said, they said to the Lord, remember before His crucifixion, they said, Lord, look at all these great buildings. Look how wonderful they are. Isn't it really fabulous, the temple that we have and all these buildings related and that? And the Lord said, of these buildings, there's going to come a time, there's not going to be one stone upon another. Okay? And they said, Lord, when's it going to be? And He said, even the Son of Man doesn't know. The angels don't know. But the Father, He's the only one that knows. He's told them this before about these things, about the end times and that. And He's told him about this, about the kingdom. He's told him what He came to do. He said, again, my brethren, it's not for you to know when that's going to happen, about the restoring of the kingdom of Israel. Okay? End times, that's how it's connected. But here's what it is given for you to know. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Listen to this. Jerusalem, all Judea, that's the region where Jerusalem is, and Samaria, that's the region to the north, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, you know, I hadn't thought about this in this way before. We understand it living in our day because how far are we from Jerusalem and Judea? We're on the other side of the world, aren't we? And we get it. We see through history how the Word of God came into Europe and then from Europe came over to the new country, the new land, and came to the America and North America and that, and then ultimately came to us in our day. We see that. It's easy for us to see about the whole wide world, okay? But can you imagine being Galileans, right? That's what the angel's going to say to these fellas. Being Galileans, they've worked, or some of them have worked on the Sea of Galilee all their lives until the Lord called them. Others had different professions that they did. Maybe some of them had been over to the Mediterranean. I don't know how far they ever traveled, okay, to that time when the Lord called them. Maybe some of them traveled. There were some of the apostles that had traveled maybe up into Europe, possibly up to Asia Minor, possibly. I don't know. But can you imagine being Galileans? These men that the Lord has called, and he said, I'm giving you a worldwide ministry. I'd never thought about that before. This is a worldwide church. Little flock here in Jerusalem, I'm giving you, don't be worried about God restoring or myself restoring the kingdom to Israel, all right? That's not your concern. Your concern is receiving this power that I've promised you and for you to be a witness in Jerusalem. Okay, we get that. We've been doing that. In Judea, okay, we've been doing that. Samaria, Peter's going. Don't want to go to Samaria. He'll want to go to Samaria before it's over with, won't he? Yeah, indeed he will. And to the uttermost part of the earth. What? Uttermost part of the earth? You want us? You're sending us to the uttermost part of the earth? Yeah, indeed. Indeed. We know that some of our brethren, John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. John made it to Asia Minor because if we understand it correctly, it was a king, a ruler in that region that exiled him to Patmos, which is just off the coast, if my memory serves me correctly, of Asia Minor or modern day Turkey. They went around. We find Peter all the way over at Babylon, don't we? In his epistles, he says that the church at Babylon salutes you, greets you. And so these brethren have been sent by the Lord, and the church is being sent by the Lord. They are given a great worldwide commission to do what? Restore the kingdom to Israel? No. But to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where they live? Where they're at right now in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and everywhere else they can go. That's what the Lord has given them and given us to do. In verse number 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Well, they looked like men, but were they men? No, they're not men. They're angels. They're angels. They're like those angels that were sitting there and at the sepulcher of the Lord when he had risen from the dead. Remember, the scripture tells us in the Gospels how there was one that was sitting up on top of the stone. Well, he was at ease, wasn't he? Jesus had risen from the dead. What do you think about the angels when Jesus was put to death on the cross? Boy, the Lord said that there was 12 legions of angels that he could call in an instant to destroy all. You know what? And he refrained from that. He held back from that. Don't you reckon? I wonder, the angels knew that Jesus and God had purposed to do what he did. You think the angels were happy about it? The angels desire to look into the things that the Lord has done for us and the operation in this church. That's what the scriptures tell us. The angels, when Jesus rose from the dead, he's at ease. And here, they're at ease. And here, these two men stood by them in white apparel. Isn't it a blessing to know that angels are watching over us? Our Lord is watching over us. But those Hebrews tell us that the angels are the Lord's ministering spirits to the saints. Ministering spirits to the saints. We got the angels of the Lord looking into what we do. Yeah, the angels of the Lord looking into when you and I goof off in services. I'm not saying anybody's goofing off in services, but I have goofed off in services, haven't you? Angels of the Lord protecting us as we come and as we go. Angels of the Lord being used of the Lord to carry our prayers back and forth to heaven. Oh, yes, the Lord is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But the scriptures tell us he does use these ministering spirits. And they are our guardians in that sense, and they do protect us, and they are involved in this work between us and the Lord. They're there. I think the Lord's serious about this, don't you? He's real serious. There's nothing more that the Lord is as serious about as the salvation of sinners and the working of His church and His church being used to carry the message to the lost and dying world. The Lord being worshiped in His church. And you know what? You and I who are saved and members of Olmsted Baptist Church are a part of that. May we get a hold of that, how glorious and wonderful that is. Two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, verse 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" You've got work to do, fellas. You've got work to do, gazing up into heaven. Where'd he go? Did you see that? Yeah, he just went right up on that cloud. Wow. "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus." That's interesting. That's his given name as a man, Jesus. This same Son of Man, this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall some so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We've got a promise. Jesus is coming back. He's like a man on a far journey. Amen? He's like a goodman that went to do some business and he's coming back to take account of his servants, of his stewards. Amen? It's the way he is. This same Jesus is coming back. You know what? Our Lord has done these things. He's sent his church to the world. And they were faithful, as our brother showed us and preached to us this weekend. They were faithful and carried the gospel onto others and onto others, and other churches were established like that first church, church to church to church to church to church, to bring it all the way down here to our day, to bring the good word of God and the Lord moving with His Spirit to convict us and save us and make us His own. And reveal to us and convict us that we need to be a part of one of His churches, and has put us here in that today. God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has done wondrous, marvelous things for us. And may we grab a hold of that and understand that and hold that in our hearts and know that the Lord has done so. He's coming back. And he has ministers to minister unto us. Listen. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet," which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath's day journey. It's just over the Kidron Valley there from the Temple Mount and that southeast, eastern side of Jerusalem. The Olivet's not that far away, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath's day journey. "And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord." By the instruction of the Lord, by their watching his ministry and what he had done, by their receiving of those commandments. See, they received what the Lord said to do. Peter, before this, he had a time in that 40 days, he had a time that he had doubts. He went back to Galilee and went fishing again. But the Lord worked with him, didn't he? And here at the final ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that first church is convicted and confident about what the Lord had given them to do. Are you convicted and confident about what the Lord's given us as Olmsted Baptist Church to do? Are you convicted and confident as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, you the individual, about what the Lord has given us to do? He's given us some commandments. He's got a directive unto us, a great commission of what we're to do. What is that? The gospel makes it clear that we're to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know, that's just not the pastor's job. I'm to do the work of an evangelist, but you are to be a witness too to those that are in your life. You have people in your life that you can reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection for the salvation of sinners. You have those in your life that I can never get to. You're called to be a witness too. We're called to preach the gospel and to declare the gospel to every creature. And then we're given an ordinance, aren't we? That those that come and they're convicted by the Lord saves them and they're convicted by the Lord. You know what? I understand from the Lord and from His Word that I need to be a part. I need to be a part of His body. I need to be a part of His church. I need to obey Him. That's the design of the Lord. That's what the Lord has done. I want to be baptized to not do anything for the salvation of the soul, but to show that Jesus has saved me and I'm being obedient to Him and I identify with what Christ did on Calvary. I needed Jesus to fulfill His gospel for me, His death, burial, and resurrection. He has done so. He's done that for me. And He has saved me. And I want to tell it to the church and I want to tell it to the world by baptism that Jesus has done these things for me. And I too want to be baptized. And you know what? We're to baptize in the water those that believe. Those that say, yes, Jesus was buried for me because He died. And Jesus rose from the dead for me, and He is alive. And by Him, I am alive. And by that baptism, they join the church, don't they? They become a part, a member, being fit together, being added by the Lord. They're fit together. And that's that second part of that commission. And then the third part is to teach to observe all the things that the Lord's commanded us, right? To dig into that word. To dig into that word. Brother Jim, why do we need to learn about the apostles? We need to learn about the apostles because of the work that the Lord did and all that. It's for a purpose. We need to learn about the apostles and the purpose of the apostles and what the Scripture says about the apostles so that we might give an answer to a world that thinks that there are still apostles. That don't understand about the Lord's church. That don't understand about the purpose of the apostles. That, and namely, in our day, that issue, they don't understand about the Word of God. Because see, if they understood about what the Word of God says, they'd understand there's no need for apostles now. And that there are no apostles. To teach to observe all the things. To teach to observe the Lord's Supper like we plan to do so this afternoon, to remember our Lord's death, the front end of the gospel, right? The two ordinances speak to His death in the Lord's Supper. That's what we remember. And then in baptism, His burial and His resurrection. Amen? Amen. That He's given these things. He's given us a commission to fulfill, and that He has His ministering spirits, His angels watching over us, and that He's given us a promise that He will return. Verse 14, these all, if you will, they obeyed the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. They continued with one accord. You know what? Olmsted Baptist Church, we've been blessed. We've been blessed with unity, and I praise God for it. You know what? Our unity can be compromised. Our unity could be compromised and could be destroyed if we get our eyes off the Lord Jesus. And may we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. May our Lord help us and may we continue to enjoy that unity in our Lord. One accord. We need to be in one accord. Fulfilling and pursuing what our Lord has given us. It's a blessing to be found in the will and obedience to our Lord. These all continued with one accord in prayer. We need to pray, don't we? We need to pray individually. We need to pray as a family. We need to pray as a church. And supplication. And supplication. You know what? We have our prayer list, and I tell you what, you look at that thing, it can be daunting. And indeed it is. And to remember everyone and to remember every case, it's near impossible unless you take notes. I mean, that's just understood. It's just that way because we just can't hold it all. But, you know, we try. And when the Lord brings one to heart and mind, we pray for them. And we look to, for the Lord to work and all different kinds of things. How many, who will supplicate for those in need if you and I don't? Amen? We're the saints of God. We're the children of God. It's told plainly that the Lord hears our prayers. There are those that need supplication that they might be saved. There's those that need supplication that they might be healed physically. There are those that are bereaved because of the loss of their loved ones or great conflict and issue that's happening in lives and they need comfort and help. The Lord's the only one that can give comfort and help. There are those that have struggle and turmoil in life, the wickedness of their past catching up with them and just problems because of those things that they've sown. Oh, may God be merciful. The people of God can pray that He would be. Supplications. I need you to pray for me that I'll be faithful to our Lord. I pray for you that you'll be faithful to our Lord. We're needy people. But you know what? We can pray to our great God who has all sufficiency and much help and blessing and grace that He bestows. And our brethren were convicted that these all continued in obedience, waiting on the Lord. They had been given a specific thing to wait on the Lord. We don't have to wait for the Comforter to be given. The sanction of the Lord being in the midst of His church and using His church for this calling that He's given, that's been done. That was done in their day. You can read about it in the coming chapters. But sometimes we do have to wait on the Lord. I tell you what, our Lord is well pleased when we do wait on our Lord. Some things we just don't know the answer to. You remember some of those things that we've dealt with and faced with. We just didn't know the answer. But praise be to God, He, in time, His time, gave us the answer. Amen? Now, you know what? We don't have to wait about going and fulfilling the Great Commission. That's at hand. We don't have to wait about meeting for services when the church determines to meet for services. That's at hand. That's already done. But there are some things that come about that we need to wait on our Lord for. We just don't know the answer. And our brethren here, they're waiting for that specific thing that the Lord told them to wait upon. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. I find that interesting that that's mentioned there. You know, because what? Our church is made up of brethren and sisters. Our church is made up of men and women. And the men have been given a directive by God to lead in the church. There's an order and there's a way in the church. I've been given to be your pastor in the church, an under-shepherd, to deal and to handle spiritual things and things of the Word of God and to give what I believe is understanding of what God says about things, but it doesn't mean that I've got every answer. You men, you've got a place and a responsibility to take. If I go haywire, it's up to you to take care of me. And sometimes it's up to me to rebuke the membership of the church or to encourage the membership. It's just all, it all works together. But you know what? That doesn't mean that the women are not a part of the church. Ladies, we need you too. And God has set you in the church. And you know what? There's a work that you can fill in the church too. Don't rest and struggle. May we men, may we not fight and wrestle against what the Lord's given us to do. If we falter and fail in it, we're accountable to our God. Now, ladies, you are too. You've got a work to do in the church. You've got a witness to go out and hold forth. You've got a place that you can work in the church too. And I encourage you, find it and do it. And I'm thankful for the ladies of our church and the things that they do. I'm thankful for our brethren and the offices and the work that they fill. This is not my ministry. I have a ministry, but it's amongst you. Okay? I have a ministry as a pastor and as a preacher, but it's with you and it's amongst you. It's not just for my sake. All of this is for our Lord's sake, and we all have a part together in it. These all continued in one accord, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and with his brethren, even that close kin of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we still doing what Jesus told his church to do? I believe so, and I want to more. In this coming year, may our Lord help us to do so. As we go and you think about anything that's church related, is it what the Lord wants us to do? Does it fit and fill with the Great Commission? Does it fit and fill with what the instruction is in the Scriptures? We need to continually ask ourselves that. This is not a club. The world may look on it as a club, but it's not a club. It's the church of the living God. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a church that Jesus walks in our midst. I tell you what, that encourages me. It makes me straighten up too, right? In mind and heart. And that's good. We need to. But the Lord is greatly concerned and has great care for us. Are we still doing what Jesus told his church to do? I pray so. And if there's anything that we're not doing, may our Lord open our eyes and our hearts to it, that we may do so. Listen to what the Lord has given us. And in thinking about this, as Brother Jim brought out about our Baptist forefathers and how they lived in that medieval time, they were on the run. They didn't have church houses. You saw the little hymn book that they had. You know, we got more hymn books than we can sing out of, and I'm thankful for it. May we sing. May we sing and use it to the glory of our Lord. But look what the Lord has given us. Consider what the Lord has given us. Tell you what, this whole affair, this whole thing of the Lord and the commission that he's given us and the things that he has given us, we're portable. You understand what I'm saying in that? We don't need this building and this property to be a church of the Lord. I'm thankful we've got it. On a windy day like today, it's great to be able to get inside and get out of the wind. And the Lord's been good to us, and may we use it well. But we don't need it. What has our Lord given us? What are the things that are essential? Well, we need the Scripture, don't we? He's given us His Word. Brother Stephen brought out this morning. He's given us His Word. Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament telling about what Christ would come and do. New Testament about telling about what He did and came and fulfilled it. And then that all things of instruction that are given unto us. We've got the Scripture. And then we've got a commission, don't we? We've got the Scriptures. We've got the commission to go preach the gospel to every creature here locally, farther out, and for the whole and to the whole world. We don't have a parish boundary. Amen? We don't have a jurisdiction or a territory that we're responsible for. I mean, we're responsible here for this, but we just don't have to stay right here. And may we go farther. May our Lord help us to see how we can go farther. And then baptize those that come and confess Christ as Savior and give a testimony of such. And then teach the all things in the church. We were given the Scripture, we're given a commission, and then we're given two ordinances. The commission alludes to that. In that second point, we baptize those that come forth and say, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that the Lord has saved my soul and given me everlasting life. And then again, is that we're going to observe here this afternoon, the Lord's Supper to remember our Lord's death. You know, as a church, we could do that here. The church meeting together, we could do it at your house. We could do to observe that in the woods. It's portable. It's portable. We're given the Scripture, a commission, and two ordinances to fulfill this calling of the Lord. Are we still doing what Jesus told His church to do?